listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Twice upon a time, there was a boy who died and lived happily ever after. But that's another chapter. Live from Home on the Bray with Dirty Dollars and Beauty Parlors and Baby Bottles and Bowling Ball and Parlors and Street Scholars. This major in the culinary arts. You know how to work the bread, cheese, and dough from scratch. But see the catches, you can't get caught. Now what you're selling, what you bought. Now cut that big talk. Let's walk to the bridge. See me halfway. Now you must see some chilling dead off in the pathway. It's them poor babies slowly walking to the candy lady. It's looking bad, me some hope, like the words, maybe, if, or probably, more than I hobbly. When my turntables get wobbly, they don't fall. I'm sorry, y'all. I often drift. I'm talking gift. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So we come to the end of the week, kinda. But I mean, if you premium, then not really. And, you know, if you like, This Is Us, and our new podcast, This Too Much, then definitely not the end of the week.
Mm-mm. You're not.
Like, feel like I'm working day and night these days.
Yes.
So we did this morning, pregame, Balls Deep. I have pregame out later this week, but Balls Deep is out. Karen and I, on Martin Luther King Day, we didn't have a regular show, but premium people got a review of Hidden Figures, where we had Layla on, special kids correspondent, and my wonderful niece. And we had a movie review of that. We also had a movie review of Sleepless on Sunday. And then Thursday, I'm, you know, knock on wood, everything goes right, I should be recording my Insecure season one recap with Nick Jew and R to the Edgy from What's the T.
That should be fun.
Yeah, that's Thursday night. And then Friday, of course, me and Bossy are gonna be recording This Too Much. So it's like, look, man, we grind, okay?
I know. Who else and is giving y'all six shows a week?
That's seven for me. That's 7 days a week that I'm working.
Seven shows for you, but I'm talking about six shows for the nine.
Oh yeah,
people.
For just the regular folks, man. So yep. At any rate, point is that we grinding out here. Mm-hmm. So of course, gotta give speaking of grinding, gotta give the show up front. This is the Black Guy Who Tips. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews. We promise to read them if we like them, and they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is sponsored, just actually brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions. Of course, we have a second audio album out. It's called Sunspot and the Ratchetness. You know, make sure you check that shit out. You know, we appreciate everybody that loves that. And in addition to that, tweet them at Shadow Dog Productions. If you followed them on YouTube, remember when they had a promotion right before Christmas? They said, hey, follow us on YouTube and we'll give you a free audio play. All you gotta do is tweet them at Shadow Dog Pride. They will send you the free audio play. Cause they people are their word, just like that.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's real good quality. We had so much fun making that.
Alright. So, make sure that you, you know, make sure you guys do that. We appreciate that. And of course the second sponsor is a little sponsor called Adam and Eve, y'all. Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom. And they are backing up that promise, like you will be backing up that ass. Check this out. Go to adamandeve.com. You can get 50% off of just about any item when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. That's a good deal in itself. But that's not all. Backed by popular demand for a limited time only, they're going to give you the big O kit. And I'm not talking about Orlando Jones. Mm-mm. The big O kit is a kit that includes the exclusive Climax gel and a mini vibrator. So you'll get a new way to get her off. What girl wouldn't love that? You'll also get your entire order sent to you for free. Listen, I know they say girl in this copy, but I say, look, y'all work that however you need to work it, okay?
Come on.
If it's two women, two men, if it's anything freaky going on, you get to vibrating that stuff down there and see what happens. That's what I like to think Taylor Swift was talking about when she wrote Shake It Off. You shake it all the way off, guys. And who wouldn't love that? You also get your entire order sent to you for free, so hurry, take advantage of this limited time offer. You can choose a new adult toy, a naughty movie, anything else, lingerie, condoms by the bulk. It's getting ready to be cuffing season, or it is cuffing season. It's cold. A lot of y'all gonna be shacked up with people because y'all don't have no options. Don't get them pregnant, okay? You don't want him to get you pregnant. You don't want to be stuck. So get y'all some condoms too. You know, and if it's not even pregnancy, just you don't want to be stuck with herpes for the rest of your life, or HPV.
That's true. You ain't got them, but they stuck with you forever.
Get you that discount on them condoms, y'all. Yeah, so one night, those items are 50% off, free shipping, plus the big O kit. All you gotta do is put in code TBGWT when it comes to checkout code, at adamandeve.com, just TBGWT. All right, let's go ahead and talk about some news, guys. All kinds of news is happening today. I don't even know where to start. I guess we'll just start with, oh yeah, we'll just start with some newsy news. Okay, there's still kinds of stuff happening. Here's some terrible news. New York corrections head defends chaining of Rikers inmates to desk for 7 hours a day. Last year, Rikers Island ended its use of solitary confinement for young adults, though the alternative is not much better. A report released last week revealed young inmates were to remain in their cells for 17 hours a day and chained to their desk with irons wrapped around their ankles for the other 7 hours. Brian Hamill, a board of corrections, told NY1 the young adults at this point would prefer to be in solitary confinement than in this protracted restraint, which is harmful, hard, and humiliating.
Right.
Hamill presented images of the inmates to the administration, but the correctional commissioner, Joseph Pont, simply walked out of the meeting along with other Rikers staffers. If you can't face what you've done, maybe what you've done is wrong.
Would you want to be treated like that?
The fact that you had to get up and walk out. I mean, look.
You know it's inhumane.
Right. I get that it's prison. And I get that it's not going to be ideal. Whatever imprisonment is, because that's what imprisonment is. It's not, you can't just go out and do shit and do what you want all day. I get that, but chaining motherfuckers to a desk like it's some shit out of a Roots or something, that can't be what the answer is.
No,
and it can't be what the law intended when they said you got to let them out their cells for at least seven hours a day. It didn't mean let them out their cells and chain them to a desk.
No, I think that when it comes to prison and our prison system, a lot of people across the board, even a lot of well-meaning people that quote-unquote feel like they never broke the law or quote-unquote feel like they've never gone to jail, feel like everybody that's in prison deserves the right to be there. Whatever they did, they broke the law, they didn't follow the rules, they deserve the right to be there, and whatever happens to them happens to them. A lot of people feel like that. And you go, I don't feel like that. But when we talk about it and we bring certain things up, all of a sudden people's heart turn cold, and you can kind of tell it from the way they're talking. It's emotionless talking. And the thing is, when it comes to prison, our prison system is lock them up, throw away the key, and just don't never say nothing to them again. We don't rehabilitate in our prison systems at all. We used to educate, but they're slowly stripping a lot of that away. And the system, because the people that are in prison are looked at as a subpar class, a demeaned, lower than class, lower than the quote unquote normal citizen. And so it's one of those things where if people are ignored enough, they kind of go in the black market. Yeah, you quote unquote, don't think the prison system is a black market, but it's free labor, free slavery. It's literally slavery. A lot of companies outsource shit through them, paying these people pennies an hour to do the shit so that the cost of shit won't go up. And I think that they know that it's wrong. They wouldn't want to be treated like that. And I think, but our society as a whole tells them it's okay, and that's why they do it.
Yeah, as long as we can stigmatize going to prison as being less than human and not deserving human rights, then people are going to be okay with the abuses to prisoners. I mean, the fact of the matter is, we do have laws and we do have policies and practices that instruct how to treat inmates. Like, it's not, it, like, the you're supposed to be rehabilitating people. You're supposed to be allowing them to reenter society. What about being chained? I mean, I know people make jokes about, I'm chained to my cubicle all day, but I mean, literally, what about being chained is teaching somebody that how to be human? Like, what about being chained to a desk is teaching that person how to go back into society and be a reproductive member of society? You know, you're just, and the sad part is with so much of prison being privatized at this point, there's no incentive for them to teach people anything that will be a skill outside of prison, because it's essentially, it's better for them to have a high recidivism rate and that these people can't go out into the world and work and they have to come back because, hey, that's how we make our money. Hamill said she came forward with the information because I did not think the Department of Correction would cease this practice, and I thought the public had a right to know. Just a week after the initial report, Pont came forward to defend the practice. He told NY1, inmates are in restraints while they are at a restraint desk in level one because of safety concerns for staff and other inmates. They typically are very violent. They have either slashed or seriously assaulted others. New York Department of Corrections noted that inmates were allowed an hour recreation time where they were not chained while in the shower. Well, you can't. Like, you literally can't.
If they could, they would, motherfucker. They just saying right. You can't because maybe the cuffs ain't waterproof. I don't know. Someone makes some waterproof handcuffs, they'll be locked up in there too.
And the hour of, recreation time is pretty much something they also do with prisoners they put in a solitary confinement. They let them out in the yard for an hour because it's mandatory, like they have to. However, Zachary Katznelson of the Legal Aid Society argued the practice is punitive. He said people are actually chained to a desk. They can't get up. They can't walk around. You are either in your cell or you're chained to a desk. Sarah Kerr, a staff attorney with the Legal Aid Society, called the practice appalling, frightening, and wholly inappropriate to our standards of decency and humanity.
Right, because at the end of the day, nobody gives a fuck unless it's their family member. Nobody cares unless it's their daddy, their brother, their aunt, their cousin, their grandma. Nobody gives a fuck unless it's their family members, because these people do have families that love and care for them, love them. Even if they committed a crime, people still love criminals. Okay, people still love criminals. They can be mad and upset at what you did, but they can say, I still love you, and I don't want you to get treated as a subpar human being.
New York Mayor Bill de Blasio also backed the practice. It's something that they have done recently, and a reason why they need extra protection in the situation, or why people around them needed that extra protection. But it is, from everything I understand, far superior to a solitary confinement situation.
How is that?
And Pont added, you can earn your way out of that status if your behavior improves. I don't know. Unless they're saying that these are like inmates that have done something to have like proven themselves a danger to other people, and that's why they have to do it. But they didn't really seem to say that in this, that they earned this designation. It sounds like they were mandated to let the youth offenders out of solitary confinement, right. And then they went, well, we got some shit for your ass. We'll get them out of their cells for 7 hours because we have to. Then we're going to chain them to a desk. Now what you going to do?
Right.
Chris Christie is not going to be joining Donald Trump in the White House. And he said he had to turn him down because his wife wouldn't leave New Jersey.
I don't believe that.
Well, I mean, it is harder being a white man as a Republican than it is being a woman. So she probably runs things in his family, and he didn't have a choice, Karen. So it makes sense to me. My question is, how is he going to be president? Because he was running for president.
So was she going to say, no, you couldn't become president because I'm not moving to Washington?
Your guess is as good as mine, Karen. How is he going to be the president? Because ain't that what he was running for? Just like Ben Carson saying he wasn't qualified for any positions in the cabinet, but he wanted to be president of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't believe you. I bet she looked with like, he talked about grab people in the pussies. You will not be on his cabinet. You better turn that motherfucker down. That's what his wife said. Mm. He done embarrassed you, had you looking all crazy.
A lot of people doing ass kissing for nothing.
Right. No, it's not going to benefit you.
Speaking of ass kissing for nothing, Kanye West is not invited to Trump's inauguration.
You don't say.
Not just to not perform, but even to watch.
That's understandable.
Because Trump wants a quote-unquote traditionally American inauguration. So
a white inauguration?
Tom Barrack isn't that ironic. His last name is Barack. Anyway, chairman of Trump's inauguration committee said this about Ye's potential performance. No, Kanye and Donald are good friends. Donald is a great admirer of Kanye, as we all are, but he is not performing at the inauguration. This week he added a little racist sounding tidbit. Let me see if I can play this. I guess this is something that, and they linked to it on YouTube. A minute long.
The dress stores were overstocked with gowns on both coasts and the elitist coasts. Today they're almost sold out.
What? What does that mean?
So, you know, the tide is turning. Nobody wants to admit it.
Why is this taking so long?
Standard emotions ran high. It was a vociferous election. And now it's time for Americans to unite. We can re-attack from what's outside. And instead of being divisive, we need to be inclusive.
So. Now, there's one celebrity I have to ask you about in particular. He said a lot of positive things about Donald Trump. You and I had talked about Kanye West before.
Yes.
But, you know, people have now said Kanye would maybe want to perform. Will he?
No, we haven't asked him. I mean, he's been great. He considers himself a friend of the president-elect, but it's not the venue. The venue we have for entertainment is filled out. It's perfect. It's going to be typically and traditionally American, and Kanye is a great guy. We just haven't asked him to perform, and we move on with our agenda.
All right. Moving on with the agenda.
Yeah, which didn't involve your black ass, sir.
Yeah, he kissed that ass for nothing.
Steve Harvey, no, none of them other niggas that went up there to talk to him.
Kissed that ass for nothing. Of course, although Kanye won't be invited, Michelle is rumored to be attending and singing.
Yeah, I kind of hurt by that.
Yeah, not a fan.
Not of her doing that. I like her music. Me and your mama a few years ago went to go see her perform live at the Ovens Auditorium, and she puts on a great show. She has a beautiful voice. So I'm a fan of hers, but yeah.
Now from the Jennifer Holliday clapback, it seems like people have learned to keep that shit quiet, so her camp is not talking about it. So right now it's kind of only rumors, but apparently the New York Daily News is reporting that a deal was actually reached weeks ago. And they had tried to have her and Jonathan McReynolds and Ty Tribbett perform. And they were the same trio that sang at BET Celebration of Gospel. And they were going to sing the song Intentional. And Travis Greene was going to be there too. But all of them backed out except for her.
Of course. They was like, no.
Yep.
Because it's toxic. You know, it's one of those things where Donald Trump has built a reputation around being around celebrities. But, you know, it's the difference between being around celebrity and you're not running shit. You know, people will tolerate you because you're not running shit. You're not making laws. So, no, you know, a lot of people go, I don't really care or give a fuck about what you say. But once you start running laws, once you start, you know, going up there talking crazy and shit like that, and you know, you can actually change the world. People are like, nah, dog. And I think, in my opinion, Donald Trump felt like it was an insult for all his quote-unquote celebrity friends to back out, because going there is, like, toxic for your career.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people are like, no, I will not do that. Because, like, all across social media, people are frying people for being on there. Some people, you go, okay, yeah, niggas didn't like you, no way. But, you know, for the bulk of people, they're like, nah, I'm not doing that. Even people that they normally use to actually reach out and book people, they were like, nah, I'm not booking nobody for you, because why would I do that? And then I can't get them to go nowhere else, so I can't book anything else because my fucking career is over because of this shit. Like, I have to make money beyond the inauguration. Whatever you paying ain't gonna be enough.
Yeah, but I guess some people make that business decision, and for Michelle, maybe she thinks it will be. Maybe she feels like the taint of this won't last or whatever. The thing for me, and I really do mean this, I feel like this is going the same for Bull Connor. This is, you know, honoring Strom Thurmond, Jesse Helms. Like, this is a historical moment. People will look back on this moment in American history, and this will be a time where everyone will swear they didn't fuck with Trump. And you're gonna be on record as somebody who did. The people visiting the tower, your picture shaking his hand is gonna be forever. Like, people don't morally have that backbone, you know. There's a lot of people that have, you know, said and done some really questionable fucked up shit. And at this point, you almost have to wonder if they were angling for that attention at some point, if they're gonna see more people act out and try to find ways, because one of the things that it helps them do is like this anti-blackness where they can then blame black people. Like, see, y'all don't want us to do nothing and shit like that. And I've seen people fall for that hook, line, and sinker so far. Like, if one of their faves goes down there, then all of a sudden they make an indictment on black people for not giving people a chance. But what they won't admit is just, this is one of my favorite people, and I don't want you guys to not like them. I want to still be able to like them, even though I wouldn't have done what they did, and what they did was fucked up. But
you can still like them. Nobody's stopping you from liking them, but you're going to deal with people saying that that's fucked up. That's, you're going to have to deal with that.
Yeah. So, one legend to another, Kashette Michelle going to sell out, and possibly end her career. And Anita Baker is ending her career. She is retired.
Wow, she's been singing for years. Anita Baker is so old school, man. I used to remember as a kid a lot of the old school singers. My aunt used to play them in the radio all the time. She had a burgundy, what was that vehicle? A burgundy Taurus. And yes, as a kid, I used to roll my eyes going, oh my gosh, not this shit on repeat again. You know, cause as a kid, sometimes you don't always appreciate music and you don't appreciate people. But as I got older, I was like, oh, okay, she can really sing, you know, as I got older. But, yeah, she will be missed, honey. All the women that are in their like 60s and 70s, they gonna miss her, honey. They were her. You know, at one period of time, that was they Beyonce.
Yeah, I always thought she was an angel and the best thing yet. You know, when I heard her music come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her.
Just remind me of Sweet Love.
Yes, her and Dionne Warwick and all them old school singers. Yes,
I mean, now that she's retiring, it's no more tears. So,
how many albums did she come out with?
A lot. I don't know. I don't think no one in the world could replace her, though.
Mm-mm.
She took to Twitter last week to put rumors of a return to the music industry to rest. A lot of rumors out there. No tour, no CD. # retire. # beach bum. # thank you, Jesus. She then added, January 26th, we'll celebrate my 59th B-Day, Lord willing. Retirement was one of the many goals / dreams. # such a blessing. I still love to write and record music. It's part of my DNA, but I'm on a different road. # beach bum. Music lovers haven't heard new material from her since 2012 on Tyrese's Lately. And later her single Sweetest Dreams, but rumors circulated that she was expecting to respect the album only forever. The date of that for that album, however, kept getting pushed back, and it looks like now it will never happen. Well, she always brought me joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't want to get caught up in the rapture, but
mm-hmm.
She definitely gave good love.
Yes, she did.
But ain't no need to worry. She's going to be on the beach, y'all. She's going to be doing good. Okay? Mm-hmm. She gave us the best that she got.
And that's what I want to do.
You know?
Giving you the best that I got. Baby.
Come on, Karen, sing it with your body and soul.
Yes!
Talk to me.
She had that deep voice, too.
If I went too far, I apologize.
I apologize. Yes, all them old folks out there do know what I'm talking about.
Brandy apparently was spotted at a Scientology fund at the 2006 car crash. It's just now coming up.
Say that one more time.
Brandy,
mm-hmm.
the singer,
yes,
was spotted at a 2006 Scientology fundraiser. Leah Remini is a person, an actress who's been doing Scientology in the Aftermath, a docuseries on A&E, exposing the church to millions of organization of the scary history. Well, somebody took a screenshot and found that in one of the screenshots of this fundraiser, Brandy was in it, clapping in the front row during a Scientology event for the new documentary. And it was definitely her. She basically joined the church back in 2006 following a tragic car crash that left the other driver dead. Brandy then disconnected from Scientology in 2009, claims Radar. If you remember, who reported this? Hold on, let me make sure. I think it was Radar. Oh, Bossip. Oh. Gone, Bossip. If you remember, we reported that Brandy went to the church seeking spiritual advice but denied becoming an official Scientologist. She posted this message just a week ago about her faith, and it was just a picture that said God, and it was a long ass, like, I believe in God.
A bunch of words up underneath it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever reads. Mm-hmm.
Might as well said, I'm not a Scientologist at the bottom. She says, from prayer to performance, to be effective, prayer must be affirmative. But it is not enough merely to affirm the presence of God. We must add to this realization the thought the divine intelligence is acting in and through us now. Prayer is not a wishful or wistful longing, nor is it an escape from objective reality. To become lost in our prayers might give us an unconscious desire to escape the activities of life. Therefore, we affirm that divine intelligence not only knows what to do, but also impels us to act on its knowing. I hand my life and affairs over to the divine intelligence, to the power that knows how to do everything. I do this in complete conviction that I receive only good into my experience. I know this is nothing in me. There is nothing in me that can doubt either the divine goodness or the operation of its law in my affairs. Okay, I don't know how you I don't know what that means. Maybe that is what they teach in Scientology. I don't know. Martin Shkreli got kicked off of Twitter, or suspended for Twitter, after he harassed a female journalist. Females. But yeah, apparently there was a woman, a journalist on Twitter, and he started doing some real stalky shit after deciding that he liked her, apparently. Now, you might know Martin Shkreli as the guy who hiked up the price for the HIV drug by 5,000%.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to buy, I think he bought Wu-Tang Clan's one album.
Was trying to pay Bobby Smurda's bail, and then they turned around and locked his ass up.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, he spends his days attempting to pick Twitter fights with the likes of Patton Oswalt and Chris Evans. Now he's gone too far, and Twitter has booted him from their platform following his stalker-like messages to writer Lauren Duca. Duca recently went toe-to-toe with Tucker Carlson following her viral Teen Vogue piece called Donald Trump is Gaslighting America. Shkreli, a Trump fanboy, took a liking to Duca and began to send her direct messages last week when he asked her to be his plus one to the Trump inauguration. Duca made it clear that she wasn't interested by tweeting a screen cap, adding, I would rather eat my own organs. Shkreli wasn't deterred. He turned his Twitter profile into a devotional shrine with a bio that read, I have a small crush on @LauraDuca. Hope she doesn't find out. Duca subsequently tweeted a screen cap of his collage style header full of photos of herself. I would rather eat my own organs. How is this allowed? And she added Jack on Twitter, the guy who like runs Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he photoshopped his face into Scully photoshopped his face into like pictures of her boyfriend and shit. Her husband, I'm sorry, which she found unsettling. Someone said, this is insanely fucked up. She replied, like, that's a picture of me and my husband. I feel sick. Twitter took swift action and suspended Scully's account within hours, but BuzzFeed's David Mack first noticed the account apparent suspension and contacted Duca, who issued a response. He's an entitled creep and absolutely deserves to have his account suspended, perhaps indefinitely. You know, it's so weird, man. We've come... I've watched in my time, this is the kind of shit these happen on like message boards.
Mm-hmm.
And people get suspended from a message board. And everybody was so, it was so weird because like, there were some people that were so addicted to the message board that they would do shit where they would act up so they would get kicked off, and then they would have multiple accounts that they created and come back. Like,
uh-huh.
They could never be better than the message board. They could never leave. And I've watched like social media become the message board. Like,
yes, sir.
Essentially Twitter and Facebook and stuff. For a lot of people, it's the same message board culture. It's why they create fake accounts. It's why they get kicked out. It's why they catfish people and the harassment and shit, you know. People getting mad about being blocked and all this shit, like.
And I guess for me, I never grew up in the message board era, but I know a lot of people did. The average person, not that funny, don't know, like me, they don't know a fucking thing about a message board. So a lot of those people bring the message board mentality to these other platforms with the vast majority don't know what a fucking message board is. It was like, nah, we not gonna tolerate that bullshit.
Yeah, but it's also human mentality.
That's true too.
But it's just weird to watch it, you know, because a message board is nothing but made of humans, same way social media is, but it has these rules and stuff, and they try to operate it like it's the message board, and it's just interesting to watch people fold into these patterns. Now, maybe it's because, you know, with our Facebook group, I end up running the Facebook group with the discipline and shit, so I get to see some of the shit where I'm like, wow, this person has a problem, and there's nothing we can do to solve it. All you can do is kick them out. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's kind of Twitter has to do that. Like, and people get mad at Twitter and stuff because it can be such a fucked up tool of harassing. But even as we're mad, we're kind of claiming that it's a fact of life that we have to be there to a certain extent. So it's just really weird to watch society become that. Not that, because it used to be a time where you joked and picked on the message board stuff, but people are making careers off of Twitter now. Activists have created entire networks off of Twitter and shit, you know. It's really amazing. But yeah, apparently he got suspended, so I don't know if he's still suspended or what. Yeah, targeted harassment and stuff, and of course can't really be lost in the fray, but she appears to be a white woman, so you know, Twitter may have worked a bit faster than
of course she'd have been
it
brown.
Would have for other people. I mean,
yeah, brown
shit.
Women been asking for protection for a very long time, and they've been ignoring the fuck out of them.
Yeah, that ain't nothing but an average day for some of these women I follow that,
come on.
You know, I have a lot of respect for, but yeah, they some of the harassment they get, it's way beyond that shit. And the fact that they haven't banned some of these people that just harass black women all day, black women who are feminist and womanist and shit, and Twitter's got, you've seen people get doxxed, you've seen people get, tell people to harass their followers and listeners, to harass people when they see them on the street. And,
yeah, in the street in real life. And
yeah.
A lot of these women, literally, and I know Twitter can see it, have blocked thousands of accounts. There's something right. Wrong. You shouldn't have to block that many fucking accounts.
Yeah, and it's just weird that, I mean, like I said, I would feel remiss if I didn't mention that something was done within hours in this case, and in many cases I do not see things done. Chipotle faces a $2 billion lawsuit didn't I talk about this?
What?
They used a photo of the woman without her permission? No? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you know, Chipotle has some issues.
Mm-hmm.
But a woman is suing them for more than $2 billion for using an image of her in a promotional photo she says they didn't have permission to use. According to Grub Street, Leach Caldwell of California is seeking at least $2,237,633,000 $1,000 from the company for a photo taken by a food photographer, Steve Adams, in 2006. Caldwell alleges that Adams took a photo of her eating dinner at a Denver Chipotle. Caldwell refused to sign a form to use the image after her encounter with him, but discovered 8 years later that the image of her was used in a promotion at a Florida Chipotle store in 2014.
Oh, yeah, you getting sued. Yeah.
Additionally, alcohol was digitally added to the photo in front of her. Chipotle founder, CEO Steve Ailes and Adams are named as defendants of the suit. The specific amount in her suit is a reflection of the company's profits from 2006 to 2015. So she won't get that much money, but it's interesting.
You aim as high as you can. Yeah, fuck you. I didn't sign it. Don't put my face out there. And then you got nothing to put alcohol on it. And even if I do drink, I wasn't drinking at the time this photo was taken, and I didn't sign anything saying that you could use my motherfucking likeness. Yes, sue them.
Liberty University in Virginia to build a $3 million gun range on campus, which Trump supporting school president says will help avoid sexual assault by keeping students busy.
What?
Yep. Liberty University in Virginia set to build a state-of-the-art gun range on campus. And Campbell County Board of Supervisors approved the plans for $3 million development. The request to build the range on a 500-acre plot of land in the Lynchburg campus was approved 6-0. The gun range will feature a pistol biathlon range, 3 rifle ranges, a police shoot house, and skeet and trap shooting. President Jerry Falwell, who is well known as a prominent evangelical leader and an outspoken Trump supporter, told Fox News that the university has used mountain land on the Lynchburg campus for recreational activities, which has helped them avoid sexual assault problems. We've been able to avoid a lot of the sexual assault problems that you see a lot of universities by giving students positive alternatives to keep them busy and to keep them in the chain. The shooting range will be part of that.
I don't believe you.
Because, you know, that's really why the sexual assault on campus, because people don't have enough gun ranges to go and play.
Right. Then, you know, you're going to have students killing each other.
Yeah, you know how sometimes you be like, should I sexually assault somebody or should I go shoot a couple skeet? You know what? I'm going to shoot those skeet instead of the skeet I was going to shoot. Yep, that's what I do. The proposal included a noise ordinance between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. and the site will be monitored 24/7. No, nothing can go wrong with this. Sure, it'll be okay. It'll also be open to community members and local law enforcement officers so they can train on the site. Virginia Department of Transportation had no objections to the plan, and although a local resident alerted the board that there are more than 100 homes near development, the development site, only 4 residents complained. Campbell County Sheriff Eric Zier said the university has done an amazing job of taking safety and noise measurements into account. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, they made it safe enough so when the woman's getting raped, you can't hear it.
Here's my thing about the... He's also a big supporter of Trump. This is another typical evangelical who supports Trump because that damn devil woman, Hillary Clinton... Trump, the pussy grabber, you worry about sexual assaults and you voted for pussy grabber and treat. It's just the hypocritical bullshit coming out of them, all just pretending to use religion when they want to make some money from this college and shit, but not exhibiting anything Jesus-like in any other way. It's just sad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you got a gun range on campus, guys. I'm sure everything will go fine. Out there in Lynchburg. Sure, everything will go fine. We won't be reading about any sexual assaults or shootings.
Unless they niggas.
Hmm? What do you mean? Why would you read that? Yeah, I'm getting it. Beating wives reminds women who rules the house and encourages them to wear sexy outfits during makeup sex to make amends, declares Turkish marriage guide.
First of all, bitch.
Treat them like you beat them is what I say. Treat them like you beat them. A shocking book that says husbands can beat their wives and women should wear sexy outfits to make amends with their spouses is being handed out in parts of Turkey. The book called Marriage and Family Life by Hasan Kaliskin, a former employee of the Office of Religious Affairs called Diyanet, has been slammed by Turkish politicians for the controversial advice to couples. Some of the appalling statements that were written in the book include: a woman who does not beautify herself for her husband, who does not obey headmanship of the man, can be beaten. This would remind her of the ruler of the house, which is like medicine. Polygamy is beneficial. Would it not be better if, instead of divorcing his bad-tempered wife and making her a trouble for another man, the man took a second wife, prompting her feelings of competition and eventually bringing her down? Other shocking statements made in the educational manual include: children as young as 10 can get married. Women should not work, as it badly influences the woman's sexual desires to her spouse. And women should not speak during sex, as it could lead to a child being born with a speech impediment. Okay.
There's a lot of children out there with impediments.
This nigga!
A similar version of the manuscript called Marriage and Privacy was also issued by Pamukkale City Council in Southwest Turkey. Members of the main opposition CHP, Republican People's Party, have called the book irrational, unconscionable, and depicts women as second-class citizens and defines them as sexual slaves. It was brought to the attention of the Grand Assembly by CHP Deputy Fatima Kaplan Hurriyet. According to the Seoul International, she said, "This is an irrational, unconscionable book that considers women as sheep by saying the man is the shepherd of the family. My hair stood on end as I continued to read it." So this is basically that Steve Harvey. The leader of the party, Zeliha Sabaz, added, "The book depicts women as second-class citizens and defines them as sexual slaves." The education minister, Ismet Yilmaz, described the publication as primitive and non-scientific. But the mayor of Kütahya, Kamil Sarıkoğlu, said this council, who has been handing out the book since 2014, had not received any complaints about the book until last month.
I don't believe.
Probably because they was beating the women that could say something.
Right. Somebody outside of that area was like, nah, dog.
Yeah. Well, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm. 100 for fucking with women.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Let's see what else we got here. Two credit reporting agencies must pay $23 million for deceptive practices. Reporting that credit all wrong. Gotta report it right if you're gonna be reporting it.
Ain't that the truth?
The nation's consumer watchdog agency on Tuesday ordered the credit reporting agencies TransUnion and Equifax to pay more than $23.2 million in fines and restitution for deceiving customers about the usefulness of credit scores and the cost of obtaining them. The watchdog agency, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, said the payments will resolve charges that TransUnion and Equifax had lured customers into enrolling in credit services advertised as free or costing only $1, but which would cost more than $200 a year. TransUnion will reimburse $13.93 million to consumers and pay a $3 million civil fine, while Equifax will reimburse $3.8 million and pay $2.5 million in civil fines. Both companies will also modify their marketing practices. Among the changes, they will obtain customers' consent to enroll them in services in which fees begin after free trials and make it easier for them to cancel services they do not want. Yeah, I've had this before where I check my credit and then it's like, you gotta give us your credit card number, but we will not charge you until after the free trial, but you gotta call us back after 30 days, not before 14, and then this and that between this time. And when you call back, it's like, well, they call this number and ain't nobody here. And you have you waited till it was a full moon? Wait till it's a full moon. What is the tide looking like? Is it?
Yeah, and you can't just go online and click it to and just take your shit off of there.
Right. It's like when the sap springs from the tree and the moss grows on the north side, will you be able to cancel this? And only then, when the sun is at its complete apex and shines through a light, yeah, that will activate the pyramid of King Tut. Then you will be able to cancel this shit. Not a second sooner or a second later.
All right, and that's another reason why I look at that credit coming halfway crazy. It's fucking, you got my, no, y'all selling my shit. You doing something with that shit. No.
So yeah, the Bureau also said a wrongful conduct have violated the Dodd-Frank financial reform law and had occurred as TransUnion since 2011 and at Equifax's July 2011 and March 2014. Many lenders rely on credit scores from TransUnion, Equifax, and their rival Experian when lending money.
Right.
But TransUnion and Equifax falsely represented the credit scores they sold to customers as being the same scores that lenders use. Credit scores are central to the consumer's financial life and people deserve honest and accurate information about them.
Right.
So apparently it was showing people higher scores than what they were showing the companies that use them. Experian was not charged. The spokesman for the Bureau did not immediately have additional comment on that one. Now be careful out there, guys. Your credit card, when you check it, it might be saying something wrong.
Just go ahead and say, you know what? I'll pay to have my credit. No, I'm not signed up for shit. Here's my money. Just give me my fucking credit score.
There is something I want to ask you. There's something that I want to know. If to this question you have the answer, so tell me what I want to know. Do you want a phone? Do you want a phone? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want a phone, let me show you how. Do you want a phone with me? Do you want a phone with me? All right, time for some terrible, terrible news about LGBTQIA people. Backtrack. Vivica Fox now says everybody is welcome at her male shake dancer shows.
I know she is.
Must be the money.
I still don't want to rest what you said, sweetie.
Yeah, she
tried. That's how you really felt.
Yeah,
nobody crazy.
First of all, bitch.
That's exactly what everybody was like. Yep, so she is now shaping up since she got threatened at the backlash from the semi-disgusting response as a possibility at the possibility of Wang swinging male strippers and her black magic all male review daring to drop it for another dude. Vivica is now saying that everyone just misunderstood what she meant. And of course her boys will clap it up for a change if a man wants to see them do it.
I'm black, and no, your first expression, you probably face is probably turned up and everything.
Hell no, that's what she said.
Right,
black magic is a show. It's about it's like the first.
And she went on Hollywood Today to explain. She went on Hollywood Today to, I guess, clarify her statements where she was misunderstood.
Yeah, like, okay, we won't pay you. She was, oh, my bad.
Yeah, she's like, I will clap these cheeks. We will clap these cheeks together for whatever we need, okay? Oh, now it doesn't want to play. Oh, god damn it.
Ah!
Seriously?
review, right? Yes, and you're putting it together.
Yes.
People are auditioning you. Ooh. The promos have been very hot.
Yeah.
But we have to talk about it. We got to get out right away.
Absolutely.
There was some backlash earlier this week, recently. You were asked if the show was for everybody, if gay guys could come to the show.
That's not true.
Okay, then walk me through.
Yes,
walk
I will. I was doing an interview in LA, in New York.
Yeah.
For a radio show that's edgy.
Uh-huh.
And they kind of ask questions that are biting edge.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the show, and they had talked bad about my boys in the past, especially about their names.
They had?
So, yeah, they had said, you know, they made fun of their names and stuff like that. So I'm a little defensive.
Cool.
And so I was just protecting my boys and they said, because the show's already been taped.
Feel like a lie coming on. They're like, oh, no, see, I was just defensive because they was asking some tough questions. And you know how when they ask them tough questions, you can't help but say something homophobic. You know how it is. So maybe, you know, maybe it's on us, guys. Maybe we don't know what we're talking about. But I feel like she tried to clean it up because money talks, dog. At the end of the day, all that posturing and shit, I think she made an off the cuff remark without even thinking about her money. And it's going to be very hard, at least in a black community, with like, even when you want to carve something out for black women, then you're going to have to think about the LGBTQ community in a lot of ways, whether you want to or not, to be honest. Because if the experience is for black women, is it only for straight black women? You know, is it are all the dancers gonna be straight? Like, is there a requirement for that? Because I mean, essentially a stripper is a form of a sex worker, and a sex worker has a job to do. And if the job is, if you can't do the job, then that's your professionalism. It's like an actor that I won't do a scene where I have to do something gay in this scene. Well, it's like, well, maybe you're not as good an actor. Maybe I shouldn't be paying you. If that's what the scene requires, that's what the scene requires. That's kind of what it seems like the strip club thing would be like. If the strip club television show, is hiring the best strippers, then it should be having people that can do everything for the money, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just my guess. I don't know. I don't go to strip clubs, really. Transgender man sues Catholic hospital for denying hysterectomy. A Catholic hospital refused to perform a hysterectomy on a transgender man. Gianni Conforti, a transgender man, has filed suit against Patterson St. Joseph Hospital on January 5th after the hospital authorities refused a hysterectomy at its premises. This incident at the New Jersey hospital highlighted the battle faced by the Obama administration in its efforts to push forward transgender rights. Conforti had originally scheduled his surgery to be held at St. Joseph's in 2015. According to him, a hospital administrator told him the procedure to remove his uterus was not possible because it was against the Catholic establishment's beliefs. He said he felt utterly disrespected and believed no hospital should treat any person like this, regardless of his identity. Right. What else is against their beliefs, I wonder? No heart transplants for black people. I'm sorry. We just don't believe in all that. You know, because it's not like hysterectomy was in the Bible. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, they don't
have... And people have hysterectomy for all types.
All kinds of reasons, but it's not like that chapter is in the Bible, right? It's just an interpretation of something they decided. They decided that we don't do hysterectomies here because we religious. Catholic establishment's belief. He said he felt utterly disrespected, believe no hospital could treat somebody like that. St. Joseph said it followed religious and ethical directives from the U.S. Conference of Bishops when it came to treatment and care. As per the directives, any procedure deemed to be morally unacceptable may not be performed. So that's just a catch-all.
That's true. And I'll just say, if you are a functioning hospital like this, you shouldn't be allowed to do this. If people can come and schedule services and shit, like, no. So if somebody comes in with an emergency and it's quote unquote against your religion, you're gonna let them sit outside and die because it's against your fucking religion?
Well, we had that story about a trans person being taken to an emergency room and they refused to operate on her because they were like, oh, this person's trans. Nope. It's interesting because in the Patient Bill of Rights, it guarantees medical service, sans any discrimination. centered on categories like gender expression or gender identity.
Yeah, they're just trying to find, they just,
it's a catch-all,
right?
They just put a vague term like anything morally unacceptable. Who's morals? Who decides what's unacceptable? So yeah, there's a lawsuit, and now it's, every time there's a lawsuit, I'm like, who knows now with Trump being able to pick the next Supreme Court justice? Who knows? Mississippi State legal team calls LGBTQ identity a choice and Christians politically powerless. A legal team of Mississippi Governor Phil Bryan in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit is defending House Bill 1523, a law which would allow people to discriminate against same-sex couples, transgender people, and premarital sex on the basis of sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions. Although the state legislature passed HB 1523 last April, less than 2 months later, a U.S. district judge blocked that law, stating that it violates both the guarantees of religious neutrality and the promise of equal protection under the law.
Right.
Now the team is defending the law using some illogical reasoning. Here's three of the most insane defenses in the briefing they filed. They say that the law doesn't violate religious neutrality by promoting certain religious views over other ones, even though it promotes religious views opposing LGBTQ identity and premarital sex. Lawyers say that LGBTQ people aren't a protected class because LGBTQ identity is a choice and that Christians are experiencing political powerlessness at the hands of homosexuals with enormous political clout. Put another way, they're saying the business would be allowed to discriminate against sexual and gender minorities because LGBTQ people are good at organizing political support. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, they said it. Last time we checked, America had over 226 million Christians and about 12 million LGBTQ people. Christians love to push the "we're the real oppressed ones." It's why you gotta really push back against that shit, because sometimes that's scary. That's like white people to me. How white people are scary as fuck when they feel offended about something that really ain't, they ain't got no fucking reason or right to feel offended. But they pulled a, like, I can't even be a bigot up in here without y'all getting upset. Right. The PC mafia is out to get me. And Christians start pulling that shit sometimes with, like, oh, so I ain't allowed to be homophobic? I ain't allowed to not serve a gay person at my company? Like, no, you're not allowed. And it's not punishing you. And it's not fucked up. It's not, no, you can't. That's not the same as, oh, so a gay person got a hate crime and y'all just gonna act like that ain't the same as when they say they want cakes from my bakery. It's the same to me. They all hate crimes. It's like, nah, dog, what are you doing? They say that LGBTQ people don't deserve legal protection because homosexuality is a choice that can be changed. They also call gender identity a behavior. This shouldn't really surprise anyone, considering the Alliance Defending Freedom and the anti-LGBTQ legal group help author the bill. They support so-called ex-gay therapy.
Like dumb.
Lastly, state lawyers are also saying that the words of businesses discriminating against LGBTQ people are hysterical, even though that's exactly what the law is designed to allow. So they're like, just because we'll be allowing businesses to discriminate doesn't mean they will be. That's hysterical that y'all think that's what will happen. Well, then why are you passing the law?
Right.
Why are you passing the law then? I mean, this sounds like a law that you don't need. Y'all don't want to discriminate, you claim. And y'all wouldn't discriminate, you claim.
Well, then it don't need to be a law.
Yeah. So then what's the problem? No, y'all sound like to me. It sound like.
Come down a notch and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation. It's ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. And shout out to Unicorn Booty where I got that news.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that name always makes me laugh.
Yeah, they're also very informative. A mother stabbed her son to death because he was gay in Brazil. Mother has admitted to hiring men to beat up her son and then later stabbed him to death because he was gay. Tatiana Lozano Pereira on December 29th lured her 17-year-old son Itaberly Lozano to their home after kicking him out for a disagreement. She pretended she wanted to make peace with her son and welcome him back home. Instead of a peace offering, she hired two thugs waiting for him when he arrived, to beat him up and teach him a lesson, which is definitely a hate crime. After deciding this wasn't enough, she ordered two teenage boys to kill him. They refused, so she took the knife herself and stabbed her son to death.
Whoa, what does she think? She an inhuman? I mean, this is an inhuman?
Right. With the help of her husband, the boy's stepfather, they carried the body to a field near Highway Jose Fregonese in Cravenhouse and burned it. Lozano's grandmother reported his disappearance and began to suspect the mother's responsibility. Authorities discovered the teenager's charred body January 7th. The victim's uncle, Dario Rosa, believes that Pereira killed her son because she couldn't accept him for being gay. However, Pereira is claiming she did it because of drugs.
It don't even matter. You killed your baby. Either both reasons are dumb to me.
The teenager's uncle denied that Itta Burley had any contact with drugs and believes that the fact that he was gay was the main reason for his mother's action. He had a job. He was very polite. He never quarreled with anyone. He only had problems with his mother, who did not accept that he was a homosexual. A mother who has to love her son, not kill. The family is torn. It will be difficult to recover, said the uncle. When asked, the couple's lawyer said the mother denied any connection with her son's sexual orientation and the crime. The problem she had with him was the threats he made and his behavior because of the drug. She has pictures with him and gay friends, but he changed because of drugs, started threatening everyone.
I don't believe you.
Here's the thing I was thinking about when I read this. Remember that time Tracy Morgan was joking, he had a thing about if his son was gay, he stabbed him in the chest and shit, mm-hmm. and he got in big trouble about it. Mm-hmm. Well, now you know why that joke isn't funny. You know what I mean? Because if you listen to the context of the material that night, I can see why motherfuckers ain't laughing at that shit and why he had to apologize. Because, I mean, this shit happens a lot. People kill their gay children, you know. People threaten and beat and shit. They beat their children just for being gay, for being a sexual orientation they quote unquote disagree with. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you know, the same way you might not laugh at a Michael Richardson talking about hang that nigger on stage, it might not really be funny to a lot of people. Let's see. A Texas federal judge halts Obama protection of transgender health rights. A federal judge in Texas has ordered a halt to another Obama administration effort to strengthen transgender rights, this time over health rules that social conservatives say could force doctors to violate their religious beliefs. The U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor on Saturday granted a temporary injunction that stops federal health officials from enforcing rules that are intended to ban discrimination by doctors and hospitals against transgender persons. O'Connor wrote in a 46-page ruling that the rules likely violate...
That much shit to say, 46 pages?
Happens all the time. All the time. I mean, that's why they go to law school.
Dude, you're double space? What the fuck?
The federal religious freedom of restoration... I like that that's the part that was outrageous to you. Doing this show all this time. Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act and places substantial pressure on planners to perform and cover transition and abortion procedures. The 1993 legislation signed into law by Democratic President Bill Clinton is meant to defend persons whose religious exercise is substantially burdened by the government. O'Connor is the same judge who in August sided with Republican-controlled states over transgender protection in public schools sought by the Obama administration. That lawsuit centered on a federal directive requiring schools to let transgender students use bathrooms consistent with their gender identity. The suit in which O'Connor issued the injunction on Saturday contends that the rules regarding doctors and hospitals, which were finalized in May, could force doctors to help with gender transition contrary to their religious beliefs or medical judgment. I really wish that... I get so angry, but I really wish people would stop hiding their bigotry behind religion. There really is nothing in the Bible that says anything about gender transition. There's nothing in there. This is you. This is you deciding what you think is right and wrong and must be. When you think about religion and how it's adapted to so much shit over the course of man, I don't know how the fuck this can't just be a thing that y'all just go along with at some point. Like, fuck it. It's not like there was planes in the Bible. You know what I mean? It's not like they was talking about time zones in the Bible. It's not like they was talking about telephones and the internet and all this shit that has come up since the fucking book was written. I don't understand. There was no guns in the Bible. Why y'all not anti-gun? Like, y'all only against the shit that y'all want to be biggest about. That's it. None of this shit. Like, you never see the, well, look, the war was meant to be fought with stones and slings. We just need to bring that back. Nobody does that shit. Everybody's like, guns, cool. Sling these stones even faster. You got a religious school opening up a gun range on campus, but
right.
Nobody's against it. Everybody's okay with it. Got it passed 6-0. Only 4 houses out of 100 around there said something. And then y'all had the nerve to pull this, like, but it's challenging my sensibilities. All this shit is a challenge to what's in the Bible. The Bible was written when motherfuckers didn't even know what salt was.
I didn't know what a refrigerator was.
Right. What are you talking about? You sound fucking stupid, man. Just, God. Anyway, is there any good news? Oh, a plus size transgender model made history by landing a major fashion campaign.
Wonderful.
The year 2016 was a hallmark year for transgender women in fashion. In September, fashion weeks on the whole saw a huge influx of transgender models walking the runway. By the end of the year, transgender women like Hari Neff, Jazz Jennings, and Adrija Pajic and Laverne Cox have been featured on magazine covers. So it's really only fitting that in the last few days of the year, trans models continue to make history. This time, it involves model Shay Neary, who is now the first out plus size trans model to snag her own fashion campaign. The campaign itself is for a plus size brand Cover Story, which specializes in modern silhouettes and is a favorite of models like Ashley Graham. In the campaign, as well as on the brand's website, Neary 28 poses wearing relaxed silk blouses, capes, and cashmere. According to Neary herself, she was shocked to get such a major campaign after such a short time modeling, having first signed with an agency trans model, which she is no longer affiliated with, a short while ago. In my time at the agency, I was the only plus model, so not many campaigns were interested in booking me, Neary said in an interview with Mike. They wanted the more European looking girls, androgynous girls, not a bigger frame woman like myself. Meanwhile, Cover Story was interested in casting a plus size trans model. It had been for a while now, but according to the Cover Story, Heidi Klan, it was difficult to find a trans model above a 6 or 8 working right now. I searched everywhere, Can, the founder of Cover Story, said in an interview. I was very surprised to find out how difficult it was to find plus size trans model, since it's pretty easy to find straight size trans models. When it was time to shoot for our second season, I found Shay through a new agency trans model. She was the only plus size model. I was ecstatic when I found her. She said, I think all women deserve to be represented. I've been looking for a trans woman for a while now. I'm so glad I found you, Neary said of the casting, and that was it. So,
oh,
dope. Happy. So there you go. Get out on some good news before we get back to this killing. Right. All right, let's do some fucking with black people here, guys. All right. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we go all around the globe and we find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we score them from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. That's right. Apparently, there's been some pretty quick backlash to a restaurant that decided to honor Dr. Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King Day with a chicken and watermelon special.
What?
Mm-hmm.
They had grape soda too?
You know, I don't know if they did have grape soda or not. I'll see if I can look.
They called it red.
How are you? What are you drinking, Jeff?
Sabrina Pyle owns Azel Cafe in Tarrant County. She admits Monday wasn't her best day.
You know what I thought was
frozen, me?
Yeah.
This has been happening lately when I screen share. So y'all can't even see the screen share either? Because I'm moving on my screen. All right. Give me a second. I will refresh, guys, so you guys can see.
Before you call me a cheap hoe, worry about your daughter, because you're the one who's having kids and don't know who the dad is. Who's the hoe now?
Oh, my. Who is the hoe now, then? I want to know.
That's right.
First of all, bitch.
I should be back on screen momentarily. It just refreshed. All right, turn on camera. Yes. And I should pop back up. And after that, I'm going to do my screen share thing and see if that works. Let me know when it comes up if you can see it, Karen.
And we see it now.
All right, cool.
Sorry. Be my best friend the way I want to be yours, bro.
I'm sorry, Rich.
All right. Now, back to the story.
I'd bring people in for lunch for the special. It'll be chicken and waffles with a side of watermelon for Martin Luther King Day.
She quickly learned from a friend that Monday's special wasn't such a good idea.
But after she brought it to my attention, I did take it down. I just did something distasteful. I just didn't think it through.
The stereotype that blacks love watermelon emerged after the Civil War to depict blacks as lazy, dirty, and childlike. The image is still used to demean blacks. Sabrina says she thought it was okay.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking of the historical.
Brad Pelt saw the post on Facebook. It stopped him right in his tracks.
It's disgusting.
After seeing the post, he took a screenshot and shared it online.
You have a responsibility on social media. You don't just scroll past things like that.
And that is all it took. It went viral.
It got blown way out of proportion, way fast. Okay, like the one I got today. You should know better, you racist scum. I will never eat there, even if it was free.
I took the post down because I didn't want people harassing her, her business, or her family, or her employees.
Sabrina wants everyone to know, lesson learned.
It shouldn't have got that out of hand. No, not at all. I'm by far not racist.
Sarah Hoy, Channel 8 News.
Hey, I was waiting on that. I'm not racist. I was like, when we gonna get that? I'm not racist, though. You know, you got fooled that one out of nowhere.
Yeah, her black friend. Why she run that past her black friend at first? This is MLK
Day. She ain't got one.
Right.
Here's the thing. Do you believe that she didn't want no problems and she didn't recognize how it was fucked up when she posted it?
That's a good question.
I know. That's all I asked.
You come down a notch and look like a petty little brat by tweeting and Facebooking this just to open up dialogue so we can have an adult conversation is ridiculous. In America, you should be ashamed.
The more I mentally sit and think about it, I think she knew, but I don't think that she thought she was going to get the backlash. I think she knew and said, fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. Then if something happens, I'm going to blame ignorance.
I think she knew. I think it's the only way you can play it is to say you didn't know after a while, or you got to double down. Those are the only two options left. She went with, apparently I'm the most ignorant person in the world. I mean, you literally on the post said, come celebrate MLK Day. I think she thought it was going to be funny. There's probably not a lot of black people in that little ass town.
I guarantee you.
And she didn't think that dude would see her shit on Facebook and be like,
final round. Cook that nigga.
Cause he cooked the fuck out of her. And what I found interesting, shout out to the white dude who found it. He took it down. that is such a white thing to do.
Now my black ass, it has stayed up forever, bitch. It is that I'd have pinned it to the top of my page. Fuck you.
That is the whitest shit I've ever. I felt bad for her and her employees, and I didn't want them to. You wanted to performatively inform the universe and the internet and let everybody know. But when the shit blew up, all of a sudden it was, whoa, 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 I don't want nobody to get in trouble. Then which one is it? You can't have it both ways, dog. You just wanted the clicks and the likes and the retweets, but you ain't want nobody to do nothing to her. Okay, then. Fuck out of here. Because it ain't even about doxing her or anything like that, but she has a public business where she said this stupid shit. You know, maybe she convinced you it was a joke. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's your town. Maybe you got threatened, but nigga, I wouldn't have took it down for that reason. I don't want nothing to happen to her. You know.
She'll be all right. In fact, her business may have gone up.
Yep. Apparently, also, 0 to 100, Karen, I forgot to ask.
I give it a 75. Only reason why I give it a 75 because it was some form of a, wasn't a sincere apology, but some form of an apology. And she took it down. Mm. So that's why I give it 75.
Cause so like, no double down, 75 for you?
Yeah.
Like, all right, I give it 100. It's MLK Day. You talking about chicken and fucking watermelon. Fuck you. 100, I'm fucked with. Activist slam obnoxious and wrong parade float honoring MLK Jr.'s assassination, assassin James Earl Ray. So somebody took a truck, put a Confederate flag on it. It said, in loving memory of James Earl Ray, does what appears to be a black mannequin with some red thing attached to the mannequin's head. I'm assuming it's supposed to be Martin Luther King Jr. after being shot in the head. To celebrate Dr. Luther King Jr. Day, a Pennsylvania man decorated pickup truck. That's kind of north. Pickup with mannequin hanging from a rope. Confederate flag flying on the pole and sign love memory of King's murderer, James Earl Ray. We are probing today, which was Facebook on Tuesday. Working, the Johnstown Police Department said to determine whether there's anything more than the photo, to this than the photo. Wouldn't the photo be enough? The leader would have engaged in potentially criminal behavior outside of Perez's free speech. Okay, so they're saying it's poor taste, but covered by free speech. So that we looking to see if they did a crime because it's covered. Okay. 0 to 100? Yeah, 100. And I appreciate the honesty. Thank you. Tired of motherfuckers lying every morning. Acting like everybody was on Martin King's side. No, y'all weren't. Tennessee lying. Republicans big up in him while being against the Voters' Rights Act. Like, how the fuck are you literally against the Voter Rights Act, but you for Martin Luther King? You know, Rob Snyder on there instructing John Lewis on how to handle himself when it comes to activism. Need to be more like Martin Luther King. Rob Snyder don't know who the fuck Martin Luther King is. Not in any substantial way. You know, matter of fact, tangent real quick. Rob Snyder said that shit. So I quoted Deuce Bagalow. And I was like, who the fuck is this white dude to try to tell John Lewis some shit? Let me tell you something. And this is not a joke. I thought it must have been a joke. People were in my mentions like, he's 1/16 Filipino. And you can't deny he is not white or something. I have blocked every last one of you well-meaning motherfuckers. You are ridiculous.
I give zero fucks.
He navigates this world as a white man right. With white privilege. And you cannot say some racist shit and then try to fall back on 1/16 of your motherfucking heritage trying to get me to call him something else. Fuck that white dude. Fuck that cracker. I don't have no respect for Rob Snyder. That's it. He's a Trump supporting bigot. Fuck him. Getting by on white privilege and this proximity to Adam Sandler. No, I'm not giving that motherfucker no type of pass. And if you have some type of weird multiracial complex about your shit, that ain't got nothing to do with Rob Snyder. Deal with that shit. Sans Rob Snyder. I'm not recognizing nothing about that dude's Filipino heritage when he picks and chooses after saying some racist shit. Oh, I can say it. I'm 1/16 Filipino. If you believe that dumb shit, then take your dumb ass to another one of his dumb ass movies because you deserve to be parted from your money and 2 hours of your life and no entertainment. Ugh. Anyway, sorry. Here's another one. A simple thank you would suffice. The white Maine governor says John Lewis needs a history lesson and should be thanking the Republican Party because Lincoln freed the slaves. Because you know John Lewis don't know nothing about history. Mm-hmm. Maine Governor Paul LePage chided Georgia Representative John Lewis for doubting Donald Trump's legitimacy as presidency, saying the civil rights icon needs a history lesson. LePage, 68, was ranting about the silver-tongued Democrat objectors to the president-elect on local station VOM, where he told his host, "I will just say this, John Lewis ought to look at history. It was Abraham Lincoln that freed the slaves. It was Rutherford B. Hayes and Ulysses S. Grant that fought against Jim Crow laws. A simple thank you would suffice."
Yeah, motherfucker, you don't know your goddamn history.
First of all, that's that trick they pull. At the time, those people were Republicans. But at the time, Republicans were the opposite to what they represent now. They're not the same.
No, they're not the same. And the thing about the Civil War and all that shit, it was fought over slaves. Believe you me, if the North had enough free labor, we all would be still be fucking slaves. The only reason why they got angry because they said y'all got free labor and that's the advantage you have over us.
Yep. It is correct that Lincoln pushed the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, and both Grant and Hayes supported equality among races. But the Jim Crow laws did not emerge until after the Grant administration and were, some historians argue, given foundations during the Hayes presidency. It was in 18th of last year, the administration and the first of Hayes that the Supreme Court ruled that states could not prohibit segregation on common carriers such as trains, trams, or riverboats, the beginning of the Jim Crow era. LePage is no stranger to inaccurate claims. In September last year, he claimed that blacks and Hispanics make up 90% of the heroin traffic arrests in Maine. He also claimed that out-of-state drug dealers were impregnating white girls. Yeah, that's when he was calling what, smoothie and T-bone, whatever the fuck he said. The FBI data showed that black people account for 14% of a total of 1,211 drug sales and manufacturing arrests, 7.4% of the drug arrests in Maine.
He just made up a fucking number.
Not only did he make up a number, he dangerously lied. 90% is what he said. They represent not just a vast minority, 14% and 7.4%.
Right.
This is just how white people do mental gymnastics to blame black people. This happens a lot. White people that are cool, that are your friends, think this shit. Like, they don't question it. They don't look anything up. They have been taught and conditioned their whole lives to think we're prone to criminality, that we're subcultures, and that we're worse human beings.
So you're a good one.
Yeah, but I've had this talk with people that I looked at them like they had just started speaking gibberish. Black on black crime is a problem, and I'm looking at them like, where did you get this from? What numbers are you looking? Where does this come? Or have you heard it enough that you feel like you don't need to look it up? Because you can't imagine black people not being more criminal than white people. You just can't imagine it. So, FBI data showed that blacks accounted for 35.5% of arrests for selling opium derived drugs, including heroin, morphine, and cocaine, and 26% for synthetic narcotics, including most prescription narcotics were included in the tally. The FBI doesn't identify Hispanic criminals, and the Maine Department of Public Safety doesn't include race when compiling and analyzing crime data. So he just didn't get, but he don't need no. You don't need no.
Who needs facts? Who cares?
Facts, yeah. Post fact world.
Right.
Zero to 100?
100. Fuck him.
Yeah. I got to go with the 100 myself, Karen. That LePage dude is a problem. And they reelecting him, it sounds like.
Right. I think they need to be term limits on the House and the Senate. Y'all motherfuckers don't need them goddamn jobs forever.
Mm-hmm. D.L. Hewley to Donald Trump. Fuck you now and fuck you forever. Comedian D.L. Hewley is letting President-elect Donald Trump know that how he really feels in a Facebook Live video on his page Friday night. Hewley basically pulled a post-Katrina Kanye and said that Trump doesn't care about black people from the nomination of Alabama good old boy Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. To the racist birth conspiracy, to his love affair with the discriminatory stop and frisk policies, policing policies.
It amazes me that to convince black people that Donald Trump cares about them, he takes pictures with celebrities. It's amazing to me. If Donald Trump cared about black people, he wouldn't have denigrated the president with those claims of birtherism. He wouldn't have stoked fears and racist fears of saying this man is less than or is not one of us to become president. If Donald Trump cared about the concerns of black people, he wouldn't have, in the debates, talked about bringing back stop and frisk. If Donald Trump cared about black people, Jeff Sessions would not be his pick to head the Justice Department. Donald Trump takes pictures with black people. A comedian and a rapper and a football player out to talk about the concerns of the community. You know why you have a comedian, a rapper, and a football player out to talk about the concerns of the community? Because that's the positions you're used to seeing us in. You would rather see a football player, a rapper, and a comedian. You'd rather have black people be football players, comedians, and rappers than the president. You'd rather see us run the ball than run the country. That's why you do it. I ain't gonna never forget what you said about this man and how you got where you are. Some people might, but I never will. I'll never forget how you denigrated his family. I'll never forget how you stoked fears. Fuck you now and fuck you forever.
That's his hot take.
Zero to 100 care.
Oh, thank you, zero.
Yep, zero for me too. Good job, JL. Good job, DL. Ah! You know, JL would have did some Trump impressions in there, but yep, appreciate you, DL. I agree with him on that one. Underground producer blasts Donald Trump as racist and sexist. Underground producer.
Underground. That's my show.
Ready for this show
to
return? Come on back. Show me some.
The session ended.
Oh, show me some Harry Tubman. Oh, let me go to the next session. Sorry. I had no idea that happened.
Harriet.
All right. It must have just ended. Mm-hmm. My camera was still on. All right. Switching over now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Now back to the straight triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Gobbling us over.
Yeah, I'm doing it now. I'm just trying to log in. It's moving slow. All right, calling y'all over to the session now, Karen.
Okay.
Preparing to go live after it brings y'all in. But I appreciate DL Yuli for that. I know sometimes he says some wild shit that I can't really fuck with, but when you got a point, you got a point. And that's also funny because he was on the Kings of Comedy with Steve Harvey, mm-hmm. and that was after Steve Harvey went down there that he had this to say, you know. So
because it's one of those things where he's like, dog, I can't respect you.
Yeah, how do you respect somebody right. like that?
And if we was to ever do it again, we definitely wouldn't invite you to come with us again,
right?
You know, because periodically they do that where they'll, you know, might not be as big as the Kings of Comedy, but somewhere he goes on tour or something like that, he'll never invite him again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Steve Harvey tried to save face after he said that shit, where he was like, okay.
His wife.
Yeah, I don't know if Steve Harvey, because, I mean, sounds like Chris Christie pulled the same Steve Harvey pulled,
mm-hmm.
which was.
His wife was like, bitch, not today.
No. My wife said I can't come out to play.
Yeah, blaming it on a woman. Nah, man up and be real with it.
Yeah, so I don't know if DL Hewley, if his words might have got through to Steve too. Who knows? Underground producer Misha Green ripped incoming President Donald Trump during the show panel at Television Critics Association. This country was built on racism and sexism. I think our incoming president is again going to be racist and sexist, she said when asked about the relevance of the Underground Railroad series in today's society. Fellow executive producer John Legend also let Trump have it by saying, Trump has promised to make this a less just and free country. Those who believe in justice will have to stand up for it. Both stated that the characters on the WGN America series will continue their struggle for justice and freedom, with a major theme of the new series being, are you a citizen or a soldier? The series will premiere its second season March 8th at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on WGN.
I can't wait.
Yep, I'll be there. This is a 10 episode second season. So
And the first season was flames. Did we review that? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did. We definitely reviewed it. So I'm ready to see some Tubman, you know.
Come on.
See what she trying to do, because I feel like, you know, Harriet gonna be trill.
Come on, it's gonna be lit.
Mm-hmm. But all right. Oh wait, this is hilarious. I have to cover this too. So 0 to 100 on that last one, Karen.
Oh, 0.
0. All right, 0 for me too. All right, last one, and we'll move into some other shit. Tommy Lawrence college show proves she wasn't always your worst nightmare. Now, I saw this shit on Twitter, and it was interesting because on Twitter, it was a dude basically spilling the tea. He had clips from her college career as I don't know what school she went to, but he basically had clips of her from when she was in college, and she was like hosting a political show, you know. I don't know if it was for practice or what, but he basically just was like, well, there's a time she did this and did that. His name is Matt Gehring. And he tweeted out, thought you saw everything online there was online about at Tommy Lauren and her pandering to an audience. Think again. Tommy, or Tammy as we like to call her, in college hosted and served as a panelist on The Scramble, a show in the journalism program before she squawked for a living. Well, you know, everybody's trying thing. I guess The Scramble was, you know, their way of preparing people for journalism in the TV world. I guess you can go out and be somebody. So he started posting clips.
Oh shit.
Yeah, and I think the first clip was the intro.
Hello and welcome.
All right.
Into the Scramble. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tommy Lahren. We have some pressing issues to address today.
First of all, you know what? The glow up ain't just for black people. The glow up hit her good, because it was not. The college Tammy was struggling, okay?
Like all other college students. Everybody struggles in college, baby.
College Tammy was struggling. Maybe
she
they
had the same makeup crew. She yeah, doing it was doing it herself.
It was a lot. Oh, why did it stop playing? Oh, no. Hold on. Hate when I do that. And of course, now it won't even let me. There we go. Media cannot be played. I'm not refreshing all this. Anyway, she was on that. Here he says, Tommy in college served as a panelist on Scramble and a show about journalism programming. In 2017, Tommy calls everyone snowflakes and fragile. But in 2014, Tommy hosted a civil discussion about slurs in the workplace and society.
Hello
and thanks for joining us here at The Scramble. I'm Tommy Lahren. Well, they say sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt you. Well, on today's show, we'll take a closer look at how our everyday language and word choice shapes popular culture. Our case studies of choice include the NFL's recent proposal to impose a 15-yard penalty on the use of the N-word on the field. In keeping with semantics, we'll discuss the very...
Sounds totally different.
Yeah, and she realized that would make her
recent
money.
Campaign to ban the word bossy from popular language. Finally, we'll discuss law enforcement intervention as it relates to mental health warnings. Is a gut feeling reason enough to step in?
Sounds totally different from, are you triggered, you little snowflakes? Huh? Are you mad because they killed another black person? Well, I think all lives matter, and our blue lives matter the most.
Because it's money saying that shit.
Her favorite hobby in 2016 was calling climate change bad weather, but in 2014, she said it was an agreed-upon scientific consensus. Receipts.
She don't give a fuck, because some people paying her, and the people that actually need to hear this don't give a fuck about you posting this.
She won't mention gun control without blaming Islam, but she calls it a multidimensional issue here. There's no mention of Islam.
Like in-home words, right? Okay.
And he said, this isn't growing up and changing her opinions. It's called getting hired to a propaganda machine, selling out and lying.
Right. Agreed.
She has not directly responded. She's been too busy addressing the Golden Shower BS fake news. Yep, and the fact that she hasn't responded speaks fucking volumes.
Oh yeah, you'll never get an answer to her.
Cause that's the person that responds to everything.
Everything, dog.
Anything to help promote herself, she is there. And,
she's not gonna defend that.
Yep. Oh, I did forget that. You know what? I'm gonna keep going. Fuck, that's a zero for me, by the way. Mm-hmm. Another story. A network pulled the Joseph Fiennes, Michael Jackson. Now Joseph Fiennes is a white dude who was gonna play Michael Jackson in a TV show.
Yeah, send them terrible ass pictures float down to it. I was like, is this real?
Yeah, yeah. we talked about it on the show, I think.
Pictures were
originally
bad.
Right? Didn't we talk about it on the show?
But that was before the pictures came out.
Yeah, I want to say, cause it was for Urban Legends, I think was the name of it. And, it was supposed to be.
You know, and you played the thing where Michael Jackson stated that he didn't want a white man playing him.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, he didn't even want a white man playing him.
The family actually objected it.
Right. They objected to it. And he decided that, nope, I can do what the fuck I want to do. And
it looked terrible.
They put it out. They put out the promo pictures of it. And he looked a hot fucking mess.
And they got roasted for that bullshit.
As they should have.
Right.
To be honest. Like it was laughable, honestly, and low key offensive, because you know the man did say he didn't want a white dude playing him in a motherfucking movies or nothing, because he considered himself a black man, you know. And so now they pulled it. It will not be shown on the network, apparently. In light of concerns expressed by Michael Jackson's immediate family, they have pulled it. British broadcaster Sky Arts said, and they said Joseph Fiennes fully supports our decision. Yeah, after he took that check, after he said that it wasn't going to be a big deal, right? Jackson's daughter Paris tweeted she felt angry after watching the trailer for the show, which is due to be broadcast next week. So.
Yeah, because that shit would have been drugged. They've been number one thing on trending on Twitter.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, what was it, like Elizabeth Taylor, Marlon Brando, and Michael Jackson driving across the country on a road trip during September 11 or something. And I'm glad it's gone. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I'm so glad this is out of my life.
Come on.
They should have just kept it in the closet where it belonged. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the time that Flex played Michael Jackson? And we was all like, beat it.
Flex played Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you black or white. Just stop trying to portray this man on screen. And yes, I'm talking to everybody. Even the man in the mirror, even myself. This is a letter from all of us because we are the world. Hollywood execs were so bad with these off the wall ideas for their shows. I guess they just couldn't stop till they had enough. That's right. But they don't really care about us, Karen. Mm-mm. It's dangerous. I just hope they just leave them alone. Just leave them alone, y'all. It's like these TV execs just steal your whole identity like some smooth criminals. Then what you supposed to do? Mm-mm. They rock my world.
Yes, rock my world.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Let's just move on. This whole thing's made me want to scream. Zero to 100, Karen.
I guess they weren't gonna have no thriller movie after all.
That what? That's not.
I think it ain't gonna make sense over here. I just wanted to join into the bad fun party.
Zero to 100.
Zero.
All right.
Told you my fun was bad.
I say 100 for even trying this shit. I'm gonna just leave a lot of blood on the dance floor.
Yes, you are.
All right, let's get out of here. I don't want to be starting nothing, so let's just move on to white people music. White people news, white people music. Let's see, how about not 30.
Okay, never mind.
All right, how about I don't know, what do white people like? They're probably into, oh, here you go. Talk about the white folk. It would help if I switched over to the white folks news tab. That would help first. I was looking at that news like, damn, this is a lot of racist white people news. Oh, that's why.
Wrong folks. Fucking
with black people. A 12-year-old girl is throwing a surprise period party by her mom, complete with a cake and tampons to try to make fun.
What?
Yeah. I was trying to think, you a period phobe? You a menstrual phobe? What's going on with you?
No.
We need to stop shaming women for having a natural bodily function. What's wrong with a period party?
Did the baby ask for it?
It was a surprise period party. She was trying to make it fun. Rather than something that you have to be ashamed of or look down upon or feel awkward about the changing in your body as you become to a woman. I don't understand why you're so against this.
Was the baby ready? Because, you know, I wouldn't have wanted a period party for me personally. It's a hard enough thing to go through. Oh, baby, here's some cake. No.
When the fuck have you been against cake? What? You don't even make sense. This doesn't even make sense. You was against period ice cream, and now you against period cake. You are scared of periods, and you need to let it go. There's nothing wrong with a woman having a period.
I know this.
No, clearly you don't. There's this. She wants to celebrate the fact that she is growing up and her child is becoming a woman. Why make her feel bad about it? Why does it have to be so shameful and private?
When did it come out of my mouth? It had to be a shameful experience.
You said you can't have no cake, and we know anytime you can't have cake, that means it's shameful.
You've never been
against cake ever.
No, you could give me cake. Don't get me wrong. I mean, did she invite friends and family too? I mean,
no, it's just her and her mama. It said congratulations on your period. It's a cake. You didn't even want to know no details. You just jumped immediately on, this is horrible. I think you a little period phobic, Karen. You need to let it go. I don't know why the society is programmed you to feel bad about these bodily functions that are just natural. It's just part of the cycle of womanhood. Female body women. Her 17-year-old cousin Autumn Jenkins shares pictures of the event on Twitter, writing, okay, so one person was her cousin was there, writing, Brooke started her period today and my family is super extra.
And I guess, okay, how can I say this? The way I view it is that, how do you know your child is comfortable enough with this for you to actually just share this with the world. Hey world, my baby started her period. Like it's an traumatic event all in its own. And like I said, if it was something private, that's fine. But if the child was okay with it, cool. If the baby's off, but if the child is not okay with it, because all children aren't gonna function the same with this. You're gonna have some children be like, mama, I don't want everybody to know I got my fucking period on Facebook.
But it's her kid and her mama and her family. She's smiling in the pictures, holding the cake. She's doing a thumbs up, holding the tampons. She was given a chocolate cake decorated with words congratulating your period in red icing and pizza as well as tampon and pads. Her mom, Shelly, said she organized the event attended by family and close friends after Brooke had confided that she was worried about getting her period for the first time. I wanted to make this event a little more fun. Autumn said her aunt opted for a chocolate cake because of the serotonin content to help with Brooke's first period. She added, my tweet going viral just amazes me. I'm glad everyone was able to see how supportive and amazing my family is. Her tweet about the event has attracted over 15,000 likes and inspired others to follow in Shelly's lead. I love this. Oh my God. More parents need to be open and supportive about things like this, wrote Libra Queen. Truckosaurus added, I need to do this for Spawn, LOL. Twitter users were particularly amused by the cake, prompting jokes over its flavor and the icing. Angela Martin wrote, the fact that the icing is red too is killing me. CM Draco added, if this ain't red velvet, then y'all doing it wrong. I mean, what's bad about it? I don't know.
I guess my opinion depends on the child, because for some children, it's been fucking devastating. You walking in, surprise! Look, you started your period! Like, it's...
But obviously, this for her child. It's not for all of us.
This for
right?
her child.
I'll put it this way. I definitely understand the principle of...
All children are not going to respond with a smile on their face.
Okay. I agree. And I definitely understand if you make something private, public, you invite all the opinions of the internet.
Yes,
and there's some people that are going to be like, you know, say fucked up shit and all that stuff. I get it. But I don't think that's why you was tripping out at first. Because you was just like, nope, party for some period. This terrible. I think you're a period folk, Karen. And I think you need to come clean. I think you need to undo that programming, man. It's not healthy.
It's not healthy, man.
It's just a period, man. Everybody, you know, a lot of women get one.
I know this.
All right. Well, it seemed like every time some topic come up on the show about it, it's going to be the fucking World War III, man. I'm just saying, it's just a period. I don't know what's wrong. It's like if a boy had a fucking, it's not the exact same, but if a boy had a wet dream or something, it's like, okay, you're producing semen now or whatever. It's, you know, we have bar mitzvahs. We have, you know, I think, I don't know. I don't think it's so bad. I think, especially having a positive attitude and your child taking leadership from that.
I agree.
I mean, I think it's kind of cool, man. Maybe people should think about that. We have no real American tradition designed around that. I know different cultures do. Jewish people do. Mexican people do with the quinceañera. But I don't know. I think a lot of people learn from a very young age that a woman's body is dirty. Period is dirty. Period makes you unattractive. Men think it's gross and everything needs to be for men and shit like that. And I think we will go a long way to undo that. And part of that is having a positive attitude about the change. It's just a change you're going through.
I completely 100% understand that. Every parent is different and every child is different.
Right. We only talking about this one kid.
Right. But as somebody who has had periods myself, I know I personally would not have wanted a fucking party for me. I wouldn't have wanted a party because it's embarrassing. You're going through a lot. Like I said, every child is different. Like, let's say her child would have responded negatively to this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, you put it on social media and everything like that, which is fine. I do think that there needs to be more positivity around this life change. But like I said, that's something that I personally would not have wanted.
I mean, I think it's definitely not for every kid. I mean, that's, you know, I think that almost goes without saying, but I don't know. I think maybe the surprise element of it might make people uncomfortable.
Right.
But see, even with a surprise, you have to look at the fact that that's her kid. So she knows that kid for 12 years. So she might know that my daughter would be okay with a surprise party and support and the family and all that shit that we wouldn't know. She also couldn't have known that the cousin was going to take pictures and post it on social media and go viral. You know, then that might be on her as well, you know, because a lot of times people don't think about that. Parents don't think about that and all that shit. But as far as just like a general idea, I mean, she, like you said, it's her kid. She know. You know, if she would have had a negative reaction to it, I mean, that's another thing to consider. But like a lot of these parents, they talk about this stuff before it happens. They talk about to their kid about it before it happens. They get their attitude. They gauge it before it happens. I mean, I could see like how that could be okay for that child because that mother maybe has been talking to her since she was, you know, before, just a child, being a small kid, like, hey, this is a celebration. This isn't a negative thing. This is trying to undo that kind of programming that this has to be a bad experience.
Right, which is a good thing. I do agree that, excuse me, that she might actually have a relationship with her daughter where she knows her daughter isn't going to have a problem with it. It's going to be a happy moment.
A lot of people don't even talk to their daughters about it. I mean, how many people, when you listen to people's first period story, most of the time it's, I thought I was dying. I thought I was sick. I went in there. And that just tells you how fucked up we are as a society. We don't even talk to our kids about it. So you have a mom that not only has obviously talked to her daughter about it, but you have a mom who's like, I want to make it a positive experience. I want to reinforce some positivity on what you're going through rather than, you know, the negative, rather than, you know, the worry and stuff like that. It seemed like it came from a good place to me. I mean, it's very white, obviously.
Yes, it is.
Which is why it's in white people news. It's very white, but I don't know that it's so, I don't know. But at the same time, I'm a man. I don't know. You know what I mean? I didn't have a period. So, to me, I don't have the life experience to say like, well, you should be scared or you should feel like nobody should know when you had your period. I don't know. You know, it just seems like the effect, even as adults, people still feel like period is nasty, you're gross, you know, something's wrong with you. Like religiously, there's shit, you know, a woman need to be in the tent for 7 days, she have a period with a ram is around and shit like that. A woman can't run. How you gonna run the country? What if you have your period? You ain't gonna be able to do your job. It just seemed like we start at such a young age, and then when I eat these fools now, I'll be like, when did this start? And I think, oh, when we were kids. And when a boy starts fucking getting erections, we don't make him feel horrible about it. You know, now maybe this is overkill to try to make her feel positive about it with a party, because obviously they're not going to have cake and ice cream and friends over every month. But, you know, I can see how you would want her to feel like it wasn't a bad thing or the end of the world. And maybe she overcompensated, but I don't know. It just, to me, it's like there's different ways to raise kids, and that seemed like a unique kind of cool thing to do if you know that your daughter is amenable to it.
Right. Now, I do agree that it's very positive. I do agree that it's a different take on it. I do agree that it will help her daughter not feel shameful and bad about her body.
Right.
How can I say this? I guess for me, I'm like, why are you throwing a party for a period? In my mind, like that's something that I would have never thought about or even considered.
Yeah, that's why I say it's the programming. Because we're rejecting it because it's changed and it's different. It's not even a rejection of like, put it this way. If you go down the checklist, is it bad to have a period when you're a girl?
No.
Should you be bad? Okay. Should you not tell people? Should you not have, should no one know? Should your parents not know? Is it a private thing? You know what I mean? Like only, it's between just you and your body. No one else knows you have a period. Maybe that's how people feel. But in general terms, it's not how it ever really goes, because your parents had to buy you the tampons and the stuff, because just because the way society set up, you're still a kid. You're normally under someone's roof when you get your period, and that person is responsible for protecting you and buying you the stuff and educating you, right? I just, you know, does it make you dirty? Does it make you sexually promiscuous, quote unquote? Or it's like all these things that I think people associate with getting a period that just seems so fucking unhealthy to keep associating, and they heap on essentially girls, like young girls. We don't necessarily heap the shame on young boys the same way, right?
True.
So it's almost like I said, this could be an overcompensation. I completely understand that. But it's almost like she's trying to say it don't have to be a bad thing. And all the women in this room had their periods. And maybe it's a way for us all to kind of celebrate the womanhood of, and togetherness of, like, family. Like, we support you. It's okay. It's gonna be okay. Look at your aunts. They had periods. Look at your cousin. She had her period. Like, we're all in here together. This is womanhood. You're just becoming one of us. You love us. We love you. Welcome to the fold, you know, kind of a coming of age thing.
Now, I think for a lot of children, that will be appropriate.
Yeah, but though, I think a bar and a bat mitzvah are the same things, but we just, because we do it at a certain age, we're not looking at it as across, it's not a significant signifying point, right? We're saying, like, at 13, you have a party. But what else happens around 13, right? Like, we're celebrating your transition into adulthood. That's essentially what we're doing.
Right.
But it's not as bad because we're not signifying it with anything. We're just saying, hey, 13, play some music, dance. It's essentially a party saying, hey, welcome to this new awkward phase of your life where you're turning into an adult. It's just this one signifies specifically by a period for this one child. I don't think it's that bad.
I hope that this tradition that she started helps her daughter view things differently. But like I said, just me and my mind and just reflecting back on my childhood, I wouldn't have wanted one.
You don't have the kind of mama that would have made this cool.
Right.
So that's why you don't want one, though. It's not the same. Like, say if my mom would have celebrated something like that, that's different.
Yes,
you would look forward to that because it's like, oh, yes. Cool. Supportive woman. Not hypercritical of me, doesn't make me feel bad about my body, not hyper religious, not shaming me, not slut shaming me. That's a completely different experience. That's why I'm trying to explain it in general. This is 12 years. She's known this girl 12 years. This girl came out of her. This isn't a stranger coming into your house talking about, surprise, you got your period. You know what I mean? Like, she knows her daughter. You know what I mean? Like, I guarantee you this wasn't a first discussion. Like, mom, mm-hmm. I got my period. Am I going to die? And then her being like, surprise, here's a cake. You know what I mean? Like I'm sure she was trying to make it a positive thing.
Right.
Sadly, it's our business now because it's on the internet. And the mom didn't put it on the internet. So it doesn't sound like she did this as a public display of, like, internet, come into my house. Look at my daughter. She just got her period. But her cousin did, you know, because all these kids on the internet now. But to me, it seemed like a positive thing. But yes, it's not for every, not every relationship can handle it. Mm-hmm. Not every mother can handle it. Not every daughter can handle it. I'm not trying to say everyone should do this. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's the end of the world that this one mom did it. And it seemed kind of cool between her and her mom, you know, and that relationship. A lot of people would envy being able to go back and have that kind of relationship with their parents. Well, you could do something like this. You know, that's how I see it anyway.
Now, that part I do agree with.
Right.
I do think that it doesn't review it in a more positive light. I think for a lot of older people in my age range, even older, if it would have been an inclusion thing and an acceptance thing and, you know, and I think, too, it's one of those things where as a parent, if you're comfortable with your body and your sexuality, it's easier for you to have these conversations with your children than when you're not.
Yeah, a lot of parents are fucked up.
Right.
You know, I don't know, man. It could be a major thing. I know we're getting hung up on this one thing, but I don't mind talking about it. Mm-hmm. I think it could be a major thing, you know, it would be nice if society found a way to revolutionize the way we feel about women's bodies.
Right.
And part of that shit goes all the way back to when you're a girl and you're, and people are already coming down on your body and shaming you, and people are making you feel bad, and like your period is a secretive, shameful thing that is happening to you. And it's already going to be awkward because you're a teenager. For most of us that are going through that awkward time, you know what I mean? Not period, but just that right. awkward transition of teenagers is already awkward. It's already fucked up. And then we had a body shame on top of it, you know? And like I said, for boys, it's not as shameful. It's, you know, like, sure, there's some, oh, you might get an erection walking from the bus or something. You know, like, I'm not right. trying to make demean that shit.
Right.
But for us, it's almost like you can laugh it off. Right. Like, it's funny. Oh, you're jacking off. Ha ha, man. I jack my dick 12 times a day. Ha ha. Like, you can say that. A girl can't say that. Mm-mm. A girl, you know what I mean? Like, you can't talk about, you know, like, it's wrong for a girl to say, she kissed some dude or something. It's like, well, you're a whore. You're a slut. Like, it's, I think a lot of this shit just happens at an early age, and then the rest of us go through life thinking all that shit is what normal, that should be normal. And I think it taints us against shit like this, where it's like, ugh, why would you do that? And it's like, well, wait, why? I mean, technically, why is this even fucking news?
Correct.
But this is news because this is revolutionary.
Yes, it is.
It's revolutionary to tell your daughter, like, yo, I support you. I love you. This, you don't need to be sad. Matter of fact, let's celebrate. Let's have some cake, some pizza. Let's have a family over. Girl, you one of us now. You a woman now. You trans, like, it's gonna be okay. Cause she said her daughter was worried about it. Why was she worried about it? You know what I mean?
Correct.
Cause society tells you to be fucking worried about it. You know? And there's so much that comes along with the responsibility for a girl being able to reproduce. There's so many pitfalls. There's so much fucking negative shit that comes with it. There's, you know, if you do start having sexual desires, you're bad. You're wrong. Like, there's so much shit. And there's so many parents that put that guilt trip and that head trip on these girls.
Yes.
From jump, you know, like that they don't do with boys. Like, when you're a boy, it's, oh, you getting some? You trying to know what you trying? You a player now? You got to get out there and get some. But when you're a girl, it's like, close your legs. Get down there. But put on some pants. Boy, girl, you better stay in this house. Like, it's totally different. And I think it's cause, you know, it starts early, man. So I don't know. It seemed like it wouldn't be that bad to me, but I say all that through this lens of I'm a dude. I don't know what that experience is really like. You know what I mean? I didn't have to go through this. Maybe there's a reason beyond just emotionality that people feel that this is a violation or some kind, you know, I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's a violation. As long as they are in agreement and stuff like that, I don't have a problem with this.
All right, cool. I'm just leave it at that then.
that's not how I initially felt. I ain't going to lie.
You know what? That's all right, though. I mean, it's. I mean, I think you get a little uptight about the period thing, but I think just now when I was talking to you, I was thinking about like your childhood and the people you had in your life at that time.
Right.
I can see why it would be more traumatic to you to even think about. So, right. You know, that's a lot of shit to anytime it's going to come up, that's going to come up too. You're going to be like, okay, well, this is how they treated me at this time. So I would not want anybody to see this, you know.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, hopefully people are changing, man. And hopefully we get less people like that. Cause it's already awkward as fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's already awkward as fuck.
Awkward and it's strange. And now all of a sudden you got all of these new rules and regulations. You know, all of a sudden it's wear dark clothes. Should I wear pants or tampons?
Right.
You know, well, you know, my underwear, you know, you have period panties,
right.
You know, how often should I change? And that's kind of funny. Even adults, you have accidents, you
right.
know, what happened.
We make jokes about it. Like,
right.
Oh, white pants on the, look at this picture. Like people do that shit all the time.
It's
fucked up and it reinforces women should be ashamed of their bodies. Like you should be ashamed. It's like a walking fucking countdown of this thing is going to happen to you every month. And then if you get in an argument at that time, it's cause you was too emotional. No man can be wrong for these 3 days. We got relationship immunity for coming to the house. Hey, bitch, what's for dinner? Boy, I will cut you in your chest. must be on your period. Like, it's always like an out, you know? So I can understand how society shames people out of embracing it, because, you know, it's during this time we get to consider you weaker than, less than, less rational. You know what I mean? There's so many things that come along with it. Nasty. And I don't want to have sex. How many men? I don't want to have sex with nobody on their period. Like, we get to do all this shit to women for the rest of their fucking adult lives.
Wow.
And shit, even past, like, Hillary Clinton ain't having no period, and people still was like, can't put a woman in the White House.
Bitch, you done been through menopause. What are we talking
right.
about?
Right. Shit just starts early, and I think this one mom is trying to hedge it off. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But she just want her, in my opinion, she probably love her daughter and don't want her daughter dealing with that stigma for right. her whole fucking life.
Right.
And she, if it starts with a party and some friends coming over and some pizza, if that's all it costs, then fuck it, man. Period parties for everybody. Give kids boner parties. Like, come on, man. Like, our society is so puritanical and fucked up. We gotta have slut walks because of shit like this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's my feeling on it. You know, Layla's gonna be going through that shit soon. Like,
yes, she will.
You know, like, you can't avoid it. You gotta embrace it, man. And it's okay. You know, like, people need to be in your corner and not try to shame you and make you feel so bad about it, you know, because you can't help it. Like, your body's gonna go through this either way.
Ain't that
so
the truth.
Guilt tripping your ass ain't helping anyway. So
no, it
I wish more people were supportive.
True.
But like I said, we're all kind of fucked up in our own ways and
yes,
got our hang up. So I don't know if that's even a realistic idea, but it would be nice if people were more supportive, you know. Anyway, I think it came from a good place. We'll see.
I agree. Now that I agree.
Man, I don't have time for more white people news if we do Guess the Race. So we can either finish on white people news or do Guess the Race now. What do you want to do?
We can say we had white people news.
All right, we keep doing some more white people news. Mm-hmm. All right, the rest is white people news brought to you by Bevel. I mean, wait, not Bevel. We good today. Yeah, I already did all the ads. All right, let's just keep going. The Selena Gomez thing is heating up, y'all.
Well, I'm glad I did stay in this category then.
Mm-hmm. Bella Hadid called her ex The Weeknd to tell him his new girlfriend Selena Gomez was using him and that this was her pattern with men.
Oh shit, now
Bella Hadid has called up her ex The Weeknd. I wonder if in her you think in her call ID come up The Weeknd.
It would in mine.
Maybe she got her in there like how Erica had Scrappy as Lil Daryl. She just got him in there Saturday, Sunday. And according to a new report, US Weekly.
She got him in as Oceanfront Waves.
Lil Ocean.
Yeah, I know he got his hair cut, but yeah.
And according to a new, I was thinking about, they got that new show, the Young Pope. And I was like, the Young Pope sound like a nigga that's on Lil Yachty album, like
who's
a feature.
Hope?
It's a show on HBO. According to a new report, Us Weekly, she warned the 26-year-old, I can't feel my face hit maker about his new girlfriend, Selena Gomez. This comes after several outlets insisted the sister of Gigi Hadid is pissed and at the same old love crooner is with her ex, even though the brunette ladies are not the closest of friends. A source close to Bella told the magazine, Bella has reached out to Abel a few times and told him Selena is using him. He thinks she's just jealous. According to a source, Selena and The Weeknd started hanging out in November when the singer completed a rehab stint for depression. They started hanging out as friends. It became romantic. They're working on the very sexy music, so it spilled over, a friend of Gomez explained. When the photos of the fresh couple appeared in January, Bella immediately unfollowed Selena on Instagram. When she then posted a bunch of photos that seemed to be making it clear exactly what she thought of the relationship, including one of her flashing the middle finger. Now, according to a source close to Bella, she is trying to warn her ex of Selena's pattern. Bella has apparently taken note of Selena's history with men she's collaborated with, and the magazine notes how long they have lasted. Selena had a short-term romance with Zedd, January 2015, while the two recorded the hit, I Want You to Know. In 2016, she hooked up with Charlie Puth, reportedly, while the two of them recorded their compilation. And Bella is not the only one who thinks so. Selena's ex, Justin Bieber, 22, reportedly believes this well-timed fling is all a ruse to promote their new music together. It's weird when they suspect that and they're in that industry. It makes me think maybe they know something.
Hey,
like how many of these relationships you don't have, Justin? Selena's the sorry hitmaker who dated Selena on and off between 2011 and 2015 has dismissed the relationship as tactical on the brunette's part, according to TMZ. It said that Justin believes this is all cookie cutter stuff for her, as he agrees with Bella and says it has happened before. The Victoria's Secret angel hasn't exactly handled the new romance well. The model only split with the R&B star in November, so it's gotta hurt that he has moved on so quickly. The couple had been dating for 2 years before their split. They were reunited briefly at the Victoria's Secret fashion show in Paris at the end of November, where Bella walked the runway and The Weeknd performed live. Damn, he was singing right next to her. She walked too. Oh well. So yeah, that's the update. She was hating. That seemed like some pretty haterific stuff. I mean, just move on, Bella. Like, if it's all bullshit and he was Selena, then, you know, she got your man for now. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
And she did move on, Karen. She showed everybody a tour of her humble apartment.
Not humble.
Mm-hmm. From the bathroom to the exposed brick, the 20-year-old model shows off her spacious Manhattan digs in an intimate new video.
Oh shit, now.
Now, it's in Manhattan. I doubt it's that humble. Though her sister Gigi has offered fans quite a few peeks inside her Manhattan apartment, Bella Hadid has kept her NYC digs mostly private until now. The star took W Magazine around on a short tour of her East Village home, where she likes to unwind after a long day of work. She showed off her favorite piece of furniture, her bathroom, along with an extensive collection of bath toys, the kitchen she uses to order in pizza for dinner. Yes, a whole video show herself playing Jenga, and everything. So there you guys go. So did they show the phone where she called The Weeknd from? Just to give you the floor, because you guys, I know you guys want the floor.
Come on, that's why we here.
Selena picked up takeaway before claiming her beau The Weeknd was worn by ex Bella Hadid that Gomez is using him. So she went out for dinner by herself and picked up some takeout. Yeah, big news. She went to the Boneyard Bistro. I bet she been taking The Weeknd to the Boneyard. I bet Bella don't like that. The 24-year-old was carrying a large white plastic bag, possibly containing some takeaway food, alongside her black purse. For her evening out, the Come and Get It singer cut a retro chic figure, having slipped into a pair of orange trousers with flared hems.
Oh shit, now I like the flared.
Brown and pale pink patterns were splattered across her top, which clashed elegantly against her long black coat. According to a Friday report from Us Weekly, The Weeknd's ex Bella Hadid warned the 26-year-old, "I can't feel my face hit maker," about his new girlfriend Gomez. This comes after several outlets insist the sister of Gigi Hadid is pissed. This is just copy and paste from the other article. Anyway, now you're up to date on that love triangle. Okay, guys. Come back, Weeknd. We don't need to do this. I wanted a prince to rescue me, but I feel better that I did it myself. A single woman who struggled to find love, quit her six-figure job, and bought a farm to raise goats for a living.
Oh.
Sound like she the goat. Yes. She figured out leaving men behind was the answer.
She started that farming game I've been playing.
A woman who once owned a public relations firm with a six-figure salary has revealed how she quit, moved to the country, and opened a goat farm. In an interview with Cosmopolitan.com, Julianne Jake Kaiser, 43, revealed how she went from making six figures in Tampa, wearing designer clothes and partying away the weekends, to selling milk and cheese with her own goat farm in rural Mississippi. And my favorite thing is, you know, this is next to the next web page of Cosmopolitan that was like 12 things to do to get a man.
Come on.
A poll. Are you sucking your man's dick enough? Take this quiz. Oh, and also, this woman found happiness by leaving men behind. Next page. Jake is the owner of Daffodil Hill Farm in Oxford, which not only features goats, many alpine dairy goats with names like Valentino and Chloe, but it's also home to chickens, geese, and various other farm creatures. Back in 2012, Jake realized that her successful business wasn't giving her the meaningful existence she craved. She also went through persistent heartbreak in her personal life, from a divorce in her late 20s to multiple miscarriages and devastating relationship collapses in her 30s. All in all, she was left in need of a big change. She gonna get a movie. I want what they gonna call it. What they gonna call this movie? I can't wait to see what they gonna call this movie. Money Can't Buy Me Love. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just spitballing here on the top of my head, guys. I don't know. I wanted her prince. I wanted that prince to come along, rescue me for everything, but I feel better that I did it my fucking self, she said. So shocked. Well, with that mouth, no wonder you couldn't find her. No, I'm just kidding. So shocking. Those close to her, she made a bold move and now claims she found power in her self-reliance. It's a journey she's been documenting on her blog, Gucci the Goats. Oh, that's going to be the name of the movie. From Gucci to Goats. And you know it's going to end with her finding a man anyway. They're going to hire Chris Evans or Liam Hemsworth to be like a farmer whose truck breaks down on her. I'm spitballing, but I'm coming up with a script in my head. If the power goes out in the winter, I know how to build a fire from scratch, she said. If my well has an issue, I can go to the pond, break up some ice, heat it up in my fireplace, and feed the animals. I got milk from the goats and eggs from the chickens. The idea began with a longing for a more rural, laid-back life. Having grown up in Mississippi, she had just been to visit her father and stepmother when their farm went up for sale for $150,000 in Oxford. In just 7 weeks, she upped and left her old life in Tampa and began collecting her menagerie. She, among her animals is goats, geese, several chickens, bear names like Prada, Dior, and Fendi. Oh, she gonna get a movie and a book. She still works parts of her previous job in a remote role as just a third of her former salary. The rest of her income comes from selling cheese and milk at local markets. Oh, man. Sandra Bullock cannot wait to play this woman.
Oh, you know she
is. Sandra Bullock about to get all the Oscars.
You know she is.
Oh, man.
Them her favorite type of roles.
Mm-hmm. Although she struggles with any sort of dating life in such a small town, yeah, Tinder can't be too kind. Jake told the public, she goes by the name Jake. She's so ready for Hollywood. Told the publication that she is confident about her next romance because she has more to offer an individual. Oh no, no, no. This just went all the way back to, and I still need to find a man. Jake is one of several other women who have made similar changes, and they name a couple other ones. Another woman did it and called her special. She does a thing where she rescue goats, and her thing is called Goats of Anarchy on Instagram. All right, guys, we'll be back Saturday with your feedback. Thank you so much for listening to the show. We appreciate y'all. Everybody go out, throw some surprise period parties this weekend. Let's get these little girls confident. We can do it, guys. We can make them believe. Till Saturday. I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.